The tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. The poet of Psalm 103 had experienced it. He had tasted and received that fatherly love, because fatherly love is meant for children. And David was a child of God. He knew the Father's voice. He received the Father's instruction. He received the Father's comfort. He also received the Father's correction. He received the Father's chastisement. He received that sanctifying grace in the midst of all his afflictions. But all that love was fatherly love, and therefore it was tender care and saving mercy. Do you know that? Do you know what was now a wonder for David? And it shall become a wonder for all God's children here in the strife. Unchanging is the love of God, from age to age the same. And let then God's people testify whether that is true or not. Because the Lord's love is unchanging. He is unchanging. I am the Lord, I change not, and therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Oh, do you know? Do you experimentally know that love? That fatherly love that is true for the smallest of God's children? And it is true for those who are the most experienced of God's children. It is for the small and the great. Fatherly love. And if we now ask those people who have tasted that fatherly love, can you now describe it? Can you now explain what that is? Can you put it in words? Oh, you know what they all agree upon? That it is a wonder to receive it. And it is a wonder to experience it. But now, how can a child of God ever put that into words? How can you now ever say exactly what that is? Oh, they agree that it is a wonder to experience it. And they may be very timid, even so timid that they dare not speak about it. And that they keep it hidden even for others. But oh, it is impossible to say it, what it is, yes. Unless the Lord gives light. And unless the Lord also provides the words by His Spirit. And congregation, that was now the portion of the Apostle John. And the Apostle John is called the Apostle of Love. Yes. And then something of what John was given to testify about that Father's love for his children, we hope to consider this morning. You say, but then it is all for God's children. Grace is for God's children, yes. And may they now be humbled under that. May they now come in holy wonderment about it. That they may desire to taste that love more and more, yes. And if we miss it, oh, then listen. Listen closely, congregation. Why? You can still receive it. And if you now may come to know what you are missing, then there shall be a begging born in your heart. The grace thou showest to thy saints, that grace, O Lord, reveal to me, that a holy jealousy would be wrought within. Well, the words of our text you can find in chapter 3, the verses 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 3, the verses 1, 2, and 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Sons of God. Sons of God. And three things we wish to speak about. A grateful exclamation. A blessed expectation. And a loving exhortation. Sons of God. And then it is a grateful exclamation that we consider. A blessed expectation that we shall hear about. And a loving exhortation that comes from the apostle. Behold. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Oh, how does the apostle come to this exclamation? We said it is a grateful exclamation. It is a joyful exclamation. It is such an adoring exclamation. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the Son of God. And we must understand what the apostle is writing about in this epistle. And that is, as you find it in verse 23, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And these two things, they alternate in this first epistle of John. What he desires to do is strengthen the true believers in that saving doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he also exhorts those who are born again in Zion to practice godliness, and especially that there may be an exercising of that love. And as you find this back and forth in this chapter, how does chapter 2 then end? If ye know that he is righteous, that is Christ, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. In other words, if there is that new birth, that is because Christ is righteous, and then the church is exhorted to righteousness. Now there you have both these elements again. The congregation is soon, as John hears about that being born of God, then it strikes a chord in his heart. Then the strings of his soul are plucked. And is that now true this morning? You know what the Holy Spirit then prompts John to do? Behold, what manner of God the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Behold, pay attention. Take good notice. And may that be true this morning, congregation, for our life's sake and for the glory of God, that we may hear it with our ears and to behold that we may see it with spiritual eyes. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Do you hear it? That being a son of God, being a daughter of God, a child of God, flows from the love of God, that flows from the Father heart, from all eternity. And then it is the good pleasure that the apostle points out. Oh, he says, you know where it comes from, this great benefit. You know what the fountain is of this great and untold favor. That is the first cause. That is that sovereign good pleasure of God alone. Hence flows all the blessedness of God's children. And therefore what John says in the next chapter about the sons and daughters of God is this: they're in his love. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us. And that he gave his son, as a propitiation for all our sins. Oh, that is great, and that is excellent love. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. For if we now consider for a moment that glorious majesty of God the Father, that almighty power, that unspeakable wisdom, that great and glorious mercy and that abundant grace, and that holiness and that righteousness. Oh, then indeed, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us? There are no words that can ever describe it. Or again, if we now consider our sins and our vile iniquities and all the trespasses that we have heaped up over many years, if we now consider the afflictions and the miseries, how insignificant we are, how rebellious we have become against the Lord, if we now consider for a moment all the pollution and the debt that we have acquired, and then what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us? How is it possible? That is not to be expressed in words, congregation. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Do you notice that word bestowed? People of God, do you see that word bestowed? It is not as if he says, I show it unto you, but I freely have given it unto you. That is now a granting of God by his grace that has never been against us. Ah, congregation, then we have what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Oh, that is a deep wonder. That is an acknowledgement of what God has done. That is that immutable love. That is most excellent love that comes from that divine good pleasure. Oh, he has bestowed it, congregation. We said he did not merely show it, but he freely gave it unto the children, his children dear. And what follows now upon that bestowing of that love? This, that we should be called the sons of God. And that does not mean that it is then a name, Christian, that he only receives, that someone calls him by that name. No, not in the least. But it is something that is true. It is something that is firm. It is something that cannot be denied or cannot be doubted. Oh, and that is now by nature for children of wrath. For those that are under condemnation. For what are we? We are of our father the devil. We have rejected the God of our salvation. We have provoked him to anger. We have wickedly departed from him. And we continue to slide away in our backslidings. Oh, we have no desire in the knowledge of his ways. We refuse to return unto him. And therefore the apostle says, children of disobedience. Have you learned it? Has it been shown unto you? Have you become ashamed on account of it? Have you wept tears because of it? Children of disobedience. And what does the apostle now say? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. How? By gracious adoption. That is now by that wonder of regenerating grace. And if we become a child, then we are an heir. And then we are a joint heir with Christ. Oh, then we are born of God. Born of water and of the Spirit. Oh, then it is what manner of love the Lord, the Father, hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. In Hosea we hear it. That the Lord says, ye are the sons of the Almighty God. Oh, then it is such an untold wonder. Congregation, then it is, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of that seed. By the will, not by the will of man, but born of God. As Peter has shown it in his epistle, being born again, and not with that corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that abideth and liveth forever. And do we then read it rightly this morning? What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Oh, and if the Lord says it, then we are children indeed. Then it has no doubt, for all that he speaks, that is true. Oh, then you hear it in the scriptures, my son, my daughter. Have you ever heard that? Oh, then the exclamation will come, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou considerest him? Sons of God. Literally it says in the original, children of God. So it means everyone with grace in his heart. Oh, then we think of that prodigal son. He had ruined it. He had forfeited everything. And he was no longer deserving to be called his father's son. And that is what those people will experience. But oh, when the Lord comes Then he does as that father, and he embraced that prodigal son, and then he receives all the privileges that he had forfeited. What does that mean, congregation? Oh, then I have that open arm that I can fly into. Then there is access unto that heart of the Father. Then there is a dwelling in the house of the Father, because then we may hide under the shadow of his wings, and he covers us. Oh, then we receive the privileges of a child, because then we may sit at the table. And then that word of God becomes our food and drink. And the Lord freely supplies that unto all his children. He will not let them perish forever. No. Oh, then you receive not only that Father in heaven, then you receive also spiritual brothers and spiritual sisters, and you become an heir. Oh, truly, then it is, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Do you know that? And you know how the text goes further. And that for a reason. It says, therefore. And the Lord means to say by John, if you cannot believe it, then hereby you can know it. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. What does that mean, the world? The multitude outside of God. The multitude that is a stranger of Christ and the covenants of promise. Those are all the unbelievers. The name Christians. Oh, and they know not those children of God. There is no bond between them. But they also do not want to acknowledge that they are the children of God. No. Because they do not love God himself. And therefore they do not love his children. When Christ in John 16 spoke about it, then he said, they do these things. What things? Casting out of the synagogue, out of the church. And also killing them. Do you know why they do that, says Christ? Because they know not the Father nor me. And if there is anyone who does not know that Holy Father and does not know Christ, then all the people of Christ shall also be despised, and they also shall not be known, not acknowledged. And you see that immediately after the fall, because Cain slew Abel, we hear it. Oh, then it is evident that Ishmael began to mock Isaac, and Esau threatened Jacob with his sword. And then you read it also that in the New Testament there comes Festus, and he says to Paul, thou art mad. And so we can multiply it. Ah, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Oh, there is now that line towards the Savior. Because if now those people have to carry crosses, and if they have to experience the enmity of the world, that is only because they despise the eternal God, the eternal Son of God, the Father. They said unto him, crucify him, crucify him. And when he was on the cross, they say, deliver thyself if thou be the Son of God. Despising, disavowing that he was the very Son of God, and our children of God. Small and great, those are the footsteps. And you must tread in those footsteps. Even as Simon of Cyrene was compelled to be a bearer of that cross. And then the wonder, he got free. And the Savior was crucified. Oh, why this separation, children of God? I must and I desire to speak unto you. Why this separation between the world and us? Why this separation between those who are in darkness and those who are in the light? Why that difference between those who are the children of Satan and the children of God? Why? There is a people that comes to exclaim, why me, why me? For I must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free, were not that fatherly love given to me because of that sovereign good pleasure. Oh, have you ever come to that joyful, acknowledging testimony, that grateful explanation? Oh, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. That is sovereign good pleasure. And that is not the only thing that is then contained in the text. Because we read, beloved, now are we the sons of God? You say, but that is what we heard, yes. But consider now for a moment, for why is that now a child of God? The love of God was shed abroad in his heart, and that is by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us, as Paul in Romans 5 verse 5. And what does faith now do? That worketh by that love. And then what does that Spirit give in the heart? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And see then that faith receives it. And that faith believes it. And that faith then says, behold, now we are the sons of God. For all those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. So here on earth, while God's children still are in this time, then they learn that they are children of God. Then they may know that they are a son or a daughter. And they receive the right to the privileges of all the children, because the Spirit testifies it in the heart. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That means beloved from all eternity by God. That means chosen by him from all eternity. And then redeemed in Christ as he finished his work upon Golgotha. But it also means quickened here in time. And by that quickening grace of the Holy Spirit made partaker of Christ and all his benefits. And what do they then taste? Not that they always can say it right away. A little child does not talk, no. And a little child cannot explain all these things. But does not that child receive love and care, protection, and all the loving kindness that mother and father can give it? Oh, what do now all the children of God taste? They taste from the Lord that tender loving care, that safe protection, that redeeming mercy, that wise instruction, and that sure guidance. They receive that abundant grace. They receive everything that they need for time and for eternity in God's way, according to God's measure. And what is that now? Oh, those are the grapes of the heavenly Canaan, the grapes of Eshcol. And they are given unto the children of God, that they may be strengthened, that they may increase, and that they may grow also in that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what those people come to sing? We love him because he first loved us. You see, it comes down to the same thing again. It flows forth from that sovereign good pleasure of God alone. And the Lord is distinct in his leadings. There are some who are led further, much further. There are some who know consciously of the pardoning of all their sins, that they have been washed and cleansed by the blood of Christ, that they meet in Christ a reconciled Father, that the Holy Spirit can also, as the adopting Spirit, seal it in the heart and give them that assurance so that they cry, Abba, Father. But oh, everyone that is now born of God, for them it is true, they are the sons of God. Does that now include you or does that exclude you? It's one of the two. It's only one of the two congregations. But then listen to what John writes. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. Why does John write this? What is now the reason, the holy purpose of the Spirit of God to inspire John to write, it does not yet appear what we shall be? It is clear, and all God's children shall agree, that glory prepared for God's children that is not fully revealed unto us. Oh, there are some things described in the Scriptures, but there is much more of the glories that abide, that are not written for us, that are still kept secret. And even the Apostle Paul, when he was drawn up into the third heavens, then he wrote that he saw and he heard things that he could not write, because that was not allowed at that time. Oh, then again we come back to that question. Why does John say, it does not yet appear what we shall be? We can ask it of God's children, and the answers will not be long in forthcoming. For where do they walk here below in the wilderness? In the midst of whom must they tread their pathway? In the midst of enemies? Oh, then it is Zion, so often afflicted by wave upon wave, and no man can help them, and no man can save. Oppression, affliction, persecution. Oh, they experience sorrow, but also scorn. They have the difficulties here in this life. Derision and mockery, the slander. Then there are crosses that they must bear. There are burdens that are so heavy. Oh, and then God's children realize that they come short of God's glory. Yes. Because they have enemies. Oh, yes. But they have sins within. There is that indwelling corruption, that wicked Adam nature. And they can never in their own strength overcome it or cast it aside. And see, then they cannot live as they should be living. You know what John Calvin said? All those people are subject to 1,000 miseries and they have the hell within. Think about it. The hell within. Because, oh, the devil is not silent to try and ruin and murder God's people. He is a murderer on the way to Shechem. And Shechem was a city of refuge. And now all those that are flying unto that city to find safety in Christ, oh, he is a murderer and he seeks to slay them still. And that is now the reason why that the apostle begins to say, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. Or you read that the Savior said in Luke 21, When all these things, these tribulations begin to pass, then look up, whence your redemption draweth nigh. So the Apostle John is given by the Spirit to do the same thing, to point the people of God in their strife and in their misery, with all their crosses and with all their troubles, to look up, to look up. And why? Oh, it is saying, it is said in the text, but we know it, know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. But, what a blessed but. But we know that is a but of faith. You say a but of faith, oh yes, congregation. And why is that now? Because this is a but that is so sure, that is so firm, because that is faith, and in faith itself there is no doubt. Then we read it, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. And then the world can assail, and devil can rage, and the unbelievers can try to ruin it. But oh, this is then sure, but we know. And that is now how sure it is. Oh, when these servants are exhorted to look unto the hand of their master, and the mistress unto the hand of, and this, the handmaiden to the hand of the mistress, then it is that hand, that strong and powerful delivering hand. In all the distress, then it is a crying for mercy. And here the apostle says, but we know when that faith comes in exercise. We know that when he shall appear, who? Christ. It says in verse 28 of the previous chapter, when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Oh, then they look for his coming. Then they are not afraid of his coming. Then there are times that they ask for his coming. Oh, we know that when he shall appear, that is now that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we look for his coming, says the apostle. Oh, and what shall then happen? We shall be like him. So then he shall change us, our vile body, like unto his glorious body. That is according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Then we shall be glorious in body and in soul. Then we shall be delivered from all the strife. Then no enemies can ever assail anymore. Oh, then we shall be glorious like him. But he is the head, and we are the members. So he has a greater, he has a higher glory. Then that is for his body, yes, a wonder. And then they love it, they desire it, they glory in it, that all the honor is given unto him. Oh, then he takes them as his bride and presents her unto his Father. Then they are brought into the Father's house that is prepared, and it has many mansions. Oh, then they receive the crown of glory, that crown of life, and that crown of righteousness. And it is cast before that Lamb, before that great and glorious Redeemer. Oh, then we shall be like him, congregation. That is now the blessing. That is that expectation of the church of God. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, what shall that be? Here the church looks through a glass darkly, and through a dark glass. In a dark mirror you cannot see much, something. But then, says the apostle, we shall see him face to face. Then we shall behold him in his full glory, as he is seated there upon the throne with his Father and the seven spirits before him. Oh, that shall be a large portion, people of God, of that blessedness in heaven, to glorify Him, to praise Him, and to magnify Him forever and forever. Oh, then our faith will be changed into beholding, and then that hope shall be fulfilled and love. Oh, that Father's love in the heart through the Spirit. Merited by the Son, that love shall then remain forever. Do you know what the Savior says in His Beatitudes? Blessed are the pure of heart. And what people are that? Whose heart has been cleansed by the blood and Spirit of Christ. Whose heart has been cleansed from all the imaginations, all the hypocrisies. And the Lord says, blessed are the pure in heart, those born again, for they shall see God. Oh, what shall that be? Then the soul shall be ravished by Him. Then the heart is satisfied with Him. Then there is such a delight and such a glory and joy in the soul. There shall be no night there, neither the need of a candle, neither the light of the sun, because the Lord God is their light. And they shall reign with Him forever and forever. We shall see Him like He is. The poet has said, the Lord is the portion, is the portion, and the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Then the inheritance is given unto me, and the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Oh, shall we then not exhort the children of God, small and great, to take courage? Because here the affliction, oh, that is but for a little while, not to despise that it is hard, no. But what is now left away, what is now set aside for God's children is that eternal weight of glory. And then all the sins and the darknesses and the enemies, and it shall all pass away. Then there is no more strife. Oh, hear the strife, but be of good cheer in that strife. Because it shall surely come to an end. Because the glory of God desires it. And it shall then come to pass that the church that is with Him, that is like Him, shall then be brought unto Him. Oh, that is now sovereign good pleasure. That is now the reason why that the church has such a blessed expectation. Do you, congregation? Do you now in truth have that blessed expectation always? Oh, not always, says, not always, no. Many times so earthly and so earthly. But there are times and moments that a church cannot and will not deny it. That their heart is drawn upwards unto Him with that blessed expectation. And then we can sing about it.